السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أبا عبد الرحمن كيف الحال؟
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الحمد لله يا شيخنا.
الحمد لله يا شيخنا.
نبدأ الدرس.
نعم يا شيخنا. نعم يا شيخنا.
طيب إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Allah, we continue our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdillah Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari rahimahullah. We continue our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad from Hadith 259, and it occurs under the chapter heading Babun Ismu Man Ashara Ala Akhihi Bi Ghayri Rushdi. We can also say Ashara ala akhihi bi ghayri rushdi, the chapter regarding seriousness and the gravity of man ashara ala akhihi bi ghayri rushdi, the one who leads his brother onto a particular idea or onto a particular path bi ghayri rushdi, when it is clear that that is not the right path to follow. Someone needs a guidance about a matter, and then you direct him to a matter while knowing fully well that that is not the right path to follow, that is not the right thing to do. Yet such a person still guides his brother who had sought his advice, who had sought his guidance regarding the matter. He leads him to something that is clear not to be what is correct. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, in the previous chapters that we had read, he had told us alayhi salatu wasalam that innal mustashara muhtaman, innal mustashara muhtaman. Certainly al mustashar, the one who is asked for advice, the one who is consulted regarding a matter, is mu'taman. Amana, trust, has been placed in his hands. So how is it that your brother in the deen, or even your brother who is your relative, he would place the trust of a consultation in your hands, asking for a mashura from you or a mashwara from you, and then you deliberately mislead him? That makes us understand how serious and evil-minded such a person can be. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about this. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari has placed this hadith under the chapter heading Babu Ismi Man Ashara Ala Akhihi Bi Ghayri Rushdi, the chapter about the gravity, the seriousness of the sin of the person who ashara ala akhihi bi ghayri rushdi, who will point to a matter, he will point his brother to a matter with guidance, yet he directs his brother to it. Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported, he said, حدثنا عبد الله بن يزيد قال حدثني سعيد بن أبي أيوب قال حدثني بكر بن عمرو عن أبي عثمان مسلم بن يسار عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من تقول علي ما لم أقل فليتبوأ مقعده من النار ومن استشاره أخوه المسلم فأشار عليه بغير رشد فقد خانه ومن أفتي فتيا بغير سبت ومن أفتي فتيا بغير سبت فإثمه على من أبداه. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Man taqawwala alayya ma lam akul fal yatabawwa maqadahu min an-nar. Man taqawwala alayya ma lam akul fal yatabawwa maqadahu min an-nar. He said alayhi salatu wa salam, وَمَنْ فَأَشَارُ عَلَيْهِ بِغَيْرِ رُشْدٍ فَقَدْ خَانَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Then he said, وَمَنْ أَفْتَى فُتِيَ بِغَيْرِ سَبْتٍ فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَى. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, he placed this hadith under the chapter about directing wrongly, deliberately misdirecting your brother. Man ashara ala akhi, your brother, and then you deliberately misguide him. He reported that hadith from his sheikh, Abdullah ibn Yazid. Abdullah ibn Yazid, rahimahullah, one of the sheikhs of Al-Imam al-Bukhari in this hadith. He is Abu Abdurrahman al-Muqri al-Misri. He is Abu Abdurrahman al-Muqri al-Misri. Abu Abdurrahman is referred to as al-Muqri because he was a great scholar of the sciences of recitals. He was a great scholar of the sciences of the recitation of the Quran. He was a Muqri. He used to teach the people the science of recitals. And then he is al-Misri because he is from Misri. He said, Haddathani Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub, al-Imam Abdullah ibn Yazid al-Mukri. He is reporting from Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub. He is reporting from Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub, Abu Yahya al-Misri. Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub, Abu Yahya al-Misri, was also one of the eminent scholars in Misr. He said, Haddathani Bakr ibn Amr. Bakr ibn Amr, he is Abu Siddiq al-Misri. Bakr ibn Amr, he is Abu Siddiq al-Misri. So we would note this point. The first sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bukhari, in this hadith, Abdullah ibn Yazid, he is al-Misri. Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub, who is the sheikh of Abdullah ibn Yazid, he is al-Misri. And Bakr ibn Amr, the sheikh of al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, Abu Siddiq, he is also al-Misri. And he is reporting from Abu Uthman Muslim ibn Yasar. Abu Uthman Muslim ibn Yasar is from the town called Tumbuz, or Tumbuda. Tumbuda is a town also in Misr. Tumbuda is a town also in Misr. So you would find that, as one of the scholars have said, that this hadith, it has a chain of reports, that it's isnadun hasanun misriyun ila sahaba. To the companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. So you would find Abdullah ibn Yazid, and he is al-Misri. Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub, he is al-Misri. Bakr ibn Amr, he is al-Misri. And Abu Uthman Muslim ibn Yasar, he is also al-Misri, rahimahullah. And he is reporting from the eminent companion of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Hafiz al-Ummah, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who said, that the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, man taqawwala alayya ma lam aqul falyatabawwa maq'adahu minan nar wa man istasharahu akhuhu al-muslim fa'ashara alayhi bighayri rushdin faqad khanahu wa man uftiya futiya bighayri sabtin fa'ismuhu ala man afta man uftiya futiya bighayri sabtin من أفتي أفتي بغير سبت. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, فإسمه على من أفتى sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet said, من تقول علي ما لم أقل فليتبوع مقعده من النار ومن استشاره فأشار عليه بغير رشد فقد خانه ومن أفتي فتيا The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. He said, من تقول علي ما لم أقل. Whoever تقول علي, التقول is to say something and ascribe it to somebody else. Someone tells, he fabricates a statement, and then said, the president said, he fabricates a statement, and then he ascribes it to somebody else. That is at-taqawwul. Iza taqawwala, he will tell a lie. Ya'ti bikadhibin, he will tell a lie, he will fabricate something, and then he will ascribe it to the other person. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, من تقول علي ما لم أقول. Whoever fabricates and ascribes to me something that I have not said. He did not say it, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet would not have made that statement. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. من تقول علي ما لم أقول. Whoever ascribes falsely, deliberately falsely ascribes a statement to me, فَلْيَتَبَوَّعُ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Let him search for a place of stay in the fire. Whoever falsely ascribes a statement to me, something that I have not said, such a person, let him begin to search for a place of stay in the fire. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيَّ مَا لَمْ أَقُلْ فَلْيَتَبَوَّعْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Whoever falsely ascribes a statement to me that I have not said, فَلْيَتَبَوَّعْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Let such a person find a place of stay in the fire. We know that this expression and the prohibition of telling a lie and then ascribing it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been reported by many of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, Abu Huraira, this is the report of Abu Huraira, and many others, Anas ibn Malik, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, and many others amongst the companions, over 20, have reported that hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wasalam said, man taqawwala alayya ma lam akul. Whoever tells a lie and ascribes it to me, and that is something that I have not said, فَلْيَتَبَوَّعَ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Let such a person find his place of stay in the fire. Sometimes he will say, عليه الصلاة والسلام, لَا تَكْذِبُوا عَلَيَّ. Do not tell a lie and ask. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, to such an extent that Ali Abani rahimahullah, he has an entire compilation on this hadith, a hadith that anyone who tells a lie and ascribes that lie to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will find his place in the fire. It has been widely reported that so much that Al-Imam al-Tabarani, the author of Al-Mu'jam al-Ma'ajim, the three books that he referred to each of them as Al-Mu'jam. He has Al-Mu'jam Al-Kabir, Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat, and Al-Mu'jam Al-Saghir. He compiled an entire book on the various chains of report of this hadith, an entire volume. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man taqawwala alayya ma lam aqul." Whoever falsely attributes something to me that I have not said, فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ. Let such a person find his place of stay in the fire. We will find in this that there is a deliberate attempt, there is a deliberate intention to mislead. A major point we should note in this is that the one who deliberately tells a lie and ascribes it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he has a deliberate intention to mislead. Because this will be apparent in the that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in the hadith. He has a deliberate attention to say what the messenger did not say. And that's a major sin. And it is condemned too in various verses in the Quran. To ascribe something to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he did not say is like saying that that thing occurs in the deen and it does not occur in the deen. It's like saying that it is from the things that Allah has legislated and Allah has not legislated that. If someone says, if you look up in the sky after Salatul Fajr 3 times in the morning, all your past sins will be forgiven. And then he ascribes it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What that person is saying that statement of his is from the religion of Allah. That is part of ascribing a thing to the religion of Allah that does not belong to the religion of Allah. This was exactly what the Jews and the Christians did with their religion. They will write something and ascribe it to Allah, and then they will ascribe it to the messengers who had brought the messengers to them. Allah told us that in the Quran. وَوَيْلٌ لِلَّذِينَ يَكْتُبُونَ الْكِتَابَ بِأَيْدِيهِمْ ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. May the woe of Allah, the curse of Allah be upon those who would write something with their own hands. ثُمَّ يَقُولُونَ هَذَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. And thereafter they will ascribe it and say this is from Allah. The same thing that a person does. He tells a lie and then he ascribes it that this is from the messenger of Allah, which would make us understand that that is from the religion of Allah. This kind of a thing the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, whoever does this, falyata. Those who tell a lie and ascribe it to Allah, they ascribe it to the religion of Allah. La yuflihu, they will never succeed. Whoever tells a lie and ascribe it to the religion of Allah is a person of failure. And from his failures is that he would find his place in the fire. This means that for all of us, everybody, be careful what you say, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is very common. There are some of the people, when they think about a statement, and they think that the statement is a very good thing, it is reasonable, and it should be part of the religion, they will say, the Prophet said so. They will say, the Prophet said so. They will say, the Prophet said so. So let us understand. There is a report of this hadith that occurs in the Muqaddimah of the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim. In it, the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, man haddasa anni, whoever narrates a hadith and cites me, ascribes it, relates a hadith on my authority, yunnahu kazibun, he is aware, yara annahu kazibun, aw yura annahu kazibun. It has been reported with the two expressions. Man haddasa anni hadithan yara annahu kazibun. Whoever narrates a report and ascribes it to me that it is from me, يَرَى أَنَّهُ كَذِبٌ. While this person knows truly well that that statement is ascribing to me, it's a lie. I have not said it. He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبِينَ. That person is one of the liars. In another report, it says, فَهُوَ أَحَدُ الْكَاذِبِينَ. That person is one of two liars, one of the two liars. The first liar is the person who has fabricated that statement. And the second liar is the person who is transmitting that statement, even though it be a lie. That's why to verify a statement that is ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that statement must have an isnad. That is why you hear us saying that Haddathana Abdullah ibn Yazid, Haddathana Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub, Haddathana, that we read the chain of reports. If we are asked by Allah, this statement that you say and said the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who told you this in his book Al-Adab al-Mufrad? So you can ask again, who told Al-Bukhari rahimahullah? You say Abdullah ibn Yazid said that to Al-Bukhari. We say, who said that to Abdullah ibn Yazid? So Sa'id ibn Abi Ayyub said that to him. Who said that from Sa'id? We say Bakr ibn Amr said that to him. Who said that to him? We say Muslim ibn Yasar said that to him. Who said that to Muslim ibn Yasar? Was Muslim ibn Yasar alive during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? We say, no, Muslim ibn Yasar was not alive in the time of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. So you worrisomely ask us, so how do you know? We say Muslim ibn Yasar had heard that hadith from who? From Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, who heard it from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. This is how our Islam has been preserved. Everything that is ascribed to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has a chain. The series in the sequence of those who have heard and transmitted that report from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these people have two main things with them. The first of them is that they have al-adala. They are people of trustworthiness. What does that mean? They are Muslims, firstly. And wal-ilmu bi-adami mufassikin. We are well aware that these people never continue upon a sin. They are not people of fisk. It's not that we suspect, we are aware that they are never a person or they are never people from the peoples of al-fisk. This is the first thing they have, al-adala. The second thing that we ensure regarding those who report narrations from Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam is that they must have what? Ad-dabtu. They must have an ability to correctly preserve what they have heard from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And we know how this ummah has paid attention to preserving the statements of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How the likes of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, they will hear from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They will memorize what he said alayhi salatu wasalam. They will write it down and pay attention even in the night to start memorizing what the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes they practically demonstrated what they heard directly from the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. It became a part and parcel of them. And then how they taught their own students, the tabi'un. And then how the tabi'un taught their own students, who were the atba'ul tabi'in, up to the time when the general documentation and compilation of these statements have come. So all the persons in the chains of report of ahadith, they are well known. And there were people also who were well known for these lies. There were people who were well known for these lies. With the isnad, who said it? Who is that person? Who was he? When was he born? Where did he live? Where did he school? Who are his teachers? Where did he learn? Well, is this someone who is able to 100% preserve his reports? And all of these, this is all of these are well known in Islam. And the science that deals with all of these is referred to as the science of isnad, ilmul isnad, ilmul hadith. That's why the ulama would generally say, rahimahumullahu, that al-isnadu min ad-din. That walawla al-isnadu laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. Al-isnad, stating who you heard from, who taught you, who taught him, who taught him, up to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. It is part of our deen. They say that walawla al-isnad, if not for this act of ascribing statements to those who have made them, and studying the entirety of and verifying that chain of report. If not for that, laqala man sha'a ma sha'a, anyone will say whatever he desired. But because this ummah is an ummah that is preserved and protected from misguidance, Allah has helped it to establish the science of isnad, by which a truth that has been ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may be verified, and the falsehood that has been ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may be recognized. So the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever taqawwala alayya, falsely attributes something to me, and that thing lam aqulhu, I have not said it, falyatabawwa' maq'adahu min an-nar, that person find his place in the fire. May Allah protect all of us. The second thing he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, وَمَنْ إِسْتَشَارَهُ أَخُوهُ الْمُسْلِمُ فَأَشَارَ عَلَيْهِ بِغَيْرِ رُشْدٍ فَقَدْ خَانَهُ. This is our point of reference in this hadith. مَنْ إِسْتَشَارَهُ أَخُوهُ الْمُسْلِمُ. مَنْ إِسْتَشَارَهُ أَخُوهُ الْمُسْلِمُ. Whoever his brother, who is a Muslim like him, is tasharahu, goes to consult him. Your brother comes and consults him. Your sister comes and consults him. Your brother, your uncle, your relatives, or your brothers who are Muslims like you, they consult you. فَأَشَارَ عَلَيْهِ بِغَيْرِ رُشْدٍ. And then he directs him, he guides him to something. He knows that this thing will not profit him. He knows that this thing is not the best for him. فَقَدْ خَانَهُ. That brother has betrayed his brother. It's an act of betrayal. Why? Because al-mustasharu mu'taman, the one who is sought for advice, the one who is consulted, the trust has been placed upon him. So there is no worse way to declare betrayal than that when the person places his trust in you and you know something to be a path of misguidance. Meanwhile, your brother had asked you only for guidance. Then you push him upon the path of misguidance. Is there any other thing that we can refer to as betrayal? Is there any other thing that we can refer to as treachery? This is clear-cut betrayal. So the brother who recognizes something to be bad and yet he guides his brother onto it, he has betrayed that brother. The brother who knows something to be bad and then he guides a sister onto it, that brother is a betrayer. That sister is a betrayer. This happens a lot in the matters of marriage. Your friend will come to you to ask about a sister. You know that the sister is not good enough for him, but because the sister has, you have some relationship, maybe she's your cousin, maybe she's your sister, maybe she's your neighbor, maybe she's your colleague in school and likes and the likes of it, and you like that brother to marry him, even though she may not be suitable for him. And then you tell the brother to go ahead, for God, you have certainly, like the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the brother who does this, for God, khana akhahu, he has misguided, he has betrayed the trust of his brother. A woman too will do that. A man would send a message through a sister to another sister for marriage. And then you find that the sister will say regarding the other sister what is not in her, just to make her become enticed to the other brother who wants to marry her, and then so that he may marry her. This kind of an advice is misguidance. If it was done deliberately, not that I didn't know she has these faults or I didn't know she has that fault, after findings and exploration and asking out, I did not find anything negative about this person. All I have said is what I have known. aside all of these issues of just saying what is known to you, what is clear to you, what you know best about an affair. What you know best may be an error, but let it not be that you recognize an error and then you cover it up. This won't happen a lot. A trouble will happen and then you find people covering up their brothers. So when the research team comes, the research team begins to ask, who did this? Instead of mentioning the name, they want to cover the name. They can even mention someone else. All of these come from the aspects of khiyana, deceit, betrayal. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنِ اسْتَشَارَهُ أَخُوهُ الْمُسْلِمُ فَأَشَارَ عَلَيْهِ بِغَيْرِ رُشْدٍ فَقَدْ خَانَهُ مَنِ اسْتَشَارَهُ أَخُوهُ الْمُسْلِمُ. Anyone whose Muslim brother consults, asks him for advice, فَأَشَارَ عَلَيْهِ بِغَيْرِ رُشْدٍ, and then he directs that brother, he points to that brother, بِغَيْرِ رُشْدٍ, to something that he knows that Muslim has betrayed his Muslim brother. That Muslim has betrayed his brother. Like the first hadith, the first expression that whoever says something and ascribes it to the messenger, we see that there is a deliberate attempt to mislead. You find in this second expression too that there is also a deliberate attempt to mislead. These two things involve deliberate attempts to mislead. There's a deliberate attempt to mislead, to ascribe to the messenger what he did not say. You want the people to think that something is from Islam and that thing is not from Islam. You want the people, you want your brother to follow a path and you know that that path is not the right path. There's a deliberate attempt to mislead. This is the point that connects the two statements. And then in the third expression, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, وَمَنْ أُفْتِيَ فُتِيَ بِغَيْرِ سَبْتٍ فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَاهُ. مَنْ أُفْتِيَ فُتِيَ بِغَيْرِ سَبْتٍ فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَاهُ. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ أُفْتِيَ فُتِيَ, whoever gives, whoever releases a fatwa, whoever releases a religious verdict, they ask, what is the ruling upon this? They say, it is haram. What is the ruling upon it? It is halal. It is lawful. What is the ruling upon it? It is encouraged. That statement, it is encouraged. It is mandub. It is mustahab. Or it is haram. Or it is halal that you are saying. That statement, if you give it regarding a matter, and it happens that it came from you, بغير سبتين, you have no clear-cut knowledge. It is not an established verdict. You just said it, and this is also common amongst the people, especially those of us who like to refer to ourselves as elites. We think that we know so much, and instead of asking and finding out from the scholars who have paid 25, 30 years of their lives learning the deen, we want to give the verdict by ourselves, by what you think you know. What you think you know may be wrong. Ask the specialist in it. Ask the specialist in it. As you spend 20 years, 25 years, 30 years learning and practicing accountancy or engineering or medicine, that's the same way people have spent 25, 30 years learning this religion of Allah, learning it, studying it, researching it, sitting down with the scholars upon it. You cannot compare yourself with such persons as far as the matters of the religion is concerned. And in the way that when a carpenter goes to perform a surgery to deliver a baby, the way the carpenter will be referred to as a murderer, that is the way the person who thinks that he's a medical doctor or a lawyer, but he pushes himself forward to give a verdict about But this second murderer is worse than the first one. The first one will only murder that person in this world. The second one, one who talks about the religion of Allah without knowledge, is a murderer from two angles. He will murder that person, destroy his dunya. He will also destroy his akhirah. And that's a worse sin to commit. So do not speak about Allah's religion Don't say that something is lawful in the religion of Allah when you don't have a knowledge of it. Don't say something is unlawful when you don't have a knowledge of it. Don't say something is permissible when you don't have a knowledge of it. Don't say something is compulsory when you don't have a knowledge of it. You don't have a knowledge of it. You have not been trained to do so, just like the doctor, or just like the doctor has not been trained to defend people in law courts. All these things are clear to us and they are reasonable. The doctor has not been trained to defend an accused in the law court. Just like the lawyer has not been trained to do a cesarean session or perform a neurosurgery. So you that you have not been trained regarding the sciences of the religion, how come you are the one saying that something is lawful in Allah's religion? How come you are the one saying that something is unlawful in the religion of Allah? So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, man uftiya futiya bi ghayri sabtin. Anyone who gives a verdict in the religion of Allah bi ghayri sabtin, without clear-cut knowledge. That statement he is giving, it is without an establishment. It is not a firm statement that is based on grounds that are clear. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَاهُ. The sin is upon that one who has given the verdict. If a case was narrated to you regarding a brother in marriage with a sister, and the marriage has not been consummated, and you give a fatwa that the marriage has been consummated, when that male and female go about having private relationships with themselves, فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَاهُ. The sin and the iniquity will be upon that person who has given them religious verdict. If a particular business transaction is unlawful, and you come to say it is lawful, the sin of those who commit it, who do that transaction, will be upon you. If a particular business transaction is also lawful, and you say that it is unlawful, whatever losses the people incur as a result of not participating in that transaction that you have declared unlawful, the sin, the evil that comes to them as a result of they are not participating in that transaction will be upon you. So be careful what you say. The first point is that you are not even in the place to give a fatwa. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, man uftiya futiya bi ghayri sabtin, fa ismuhu ala man afta. Whoever delivers a fatwa without an established grounds, without clear-cut knowledge about what he is saying, فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَاهُ. The sin is upon the one who has given that fatwa. This is fatwa that is being given by a person who has no knowledge regarding that fatwa. He may be knowledgeable in some other aspects of the religion. In fact, he may be knowledgeable regarding the rulings on business transactions in Islam. But just this particular issue, he does not know. And that's why the scholars say that teachers should teach their students la adri. They should teach their students the need and the etiquette of always saying that I don't know. Once the least ambiguity comes to you regarding a matter, please find relief in saying that you don't know. The ulama say the one who says la adri, I don't know, that is the one that truly knows, because it means that he knows what he knows, and he knows what he does not know. Some of the ulama will say, la adri nisful ilm. La adri nisful ilm. To say that I don't know regarding a matter when you really don't know, or when something becomes ambiguous to you in that matter, for you to say, oh, I don't know. Oh, I will address the matter at another time so that you have an opportunity to study it, is one of the means of also saying I don't know. Or that there are issues that you think deserves attention in that matter before you can explain what it requires. Know what you don't know. Knowledge is two. Knowledge is divided into two. What you know and what you don't know. And it doesn't mean that the two branches have to be equal. What you don't know are definitely much more than what you know. And that is true for everybody. Because all human beings, all of us, all human beings, as knowledgeable as anybody could be. Allah has only given all of us small knowledge. This is وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ مِنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا وَمَا أُوتِيتُمْ Banu Adam, all of you, مَا أُوتِيتُمْ As professor as you can be, as PhD, some people say, I have 6 PhDs, I have 15 PhDs. That's your 15 PhD is a small knowledge, because Allah said to us that all of us, we only know a little. So if all human beings know a little, how many are you in the number of human beings? Take all human beings to be 10 billion, for example. If all human beings and 10 are 10 billion, and you are just one of 10 billion, and 10 billion has a little, can your own be big? You are just one unit out of 10 billion. And 10 billion, Allah, their creator, said they know little. So you that is one divided by 10 billion, can your knowledge be big if 10 billion has little? It means your knowledge is little billion times. So don't be shy to say, I don't know. Don't be shy to say, I don't know. Al-Imam Ibn Abdul Barr and many others, they say it occurs in the books of the scholars, past and present, that it is not from the conditions of being a scholar that he knows everything. You want to describe a scholar, you now say, this scholar that you are seeing, there is nothing that he does not know. That is not from the attributes of a scholar. From the attributes of a scholar, Al-Imam Al-Zahabi, many others, they say, from the attributes of a scholar is that what he doesn't know are far much more than what he knows, even regarding the science where he professes. If a person says he's a professor of medicine, maybe he's an ophthalmologist, or maybe he's a neurologist, you only know about neurology. You may not know about nephrology. If you know neurology, you know nephrology. You may not know other sciences, other branch of. You may not know science lab tech, how to test urine, how to test physics of people. So no one knows it all. The same thing in the science of the religion. Someone may be a great scholar in the sciences of recitals of the Quran, and he does not know about the ahadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Even in the science of hadith, you may know a particular branch and not know a particular branch. It is very, very common. It is very common. So when you are asked about something regarding which you don't know, or something you had studied about, you forgot, or something that the clear facts of it are not occurring to you at the time that the question was asked, I beg you in Allah's name, just honorably say that you don't know. Why? Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man uftiya futiya bi ghayri sabtin. Knowledge. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fa ismuhu ala man aftahu. The sin of giving that fatwa is upon the one who has given that fatwa. But the point of reference in our hadith today is the second statement. This third statement too, like we mentioned of the first and the second statement, you will see there is a deliberate attempt to mislead. He is giving a verdict. He is saying that something is haram. And he does not know. He knows that he does not have the knowledge. So there is a deliberate intention to mislead. The one who says a statement and ascribes it to the Messenger, alayhi salatu salam, he has a deliberate intention to make the people feel what is wrong, to make the people have an impression, and that impression is a wrong thing. The one who is asked for guidance and he deliberately misleads the brother, he wants that person to have an impression that is wrong. The one who is asked for religious verdict and he knows that he does not know it, he just says something. I remember the story of Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Abdullah ibn Baz. This story was told by Sheikh, you see me now, I'm making isnad. This statement was mentioned by Sheikh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, Sheikh Abdul Razak al-Abbad, the son of Sheikh Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad. He was and he does not have any hairs on his head. Someone is making tawaf between Safa and Marwa. What you do between Safa and Marwa can also be called tawaf. So we call it as-sa'yu. So he's making a sa'i between Safa and Marwa. He goes and comes, he goes and comes. And he has no hair on his head. But he has some hairs on his lips, on his mustache. Some hairs were there. So when he finished the sa'i at Al-Marwa, he didn't know what to do because he does not have any hair on his head. He just saw someone with beard, with trousers that are up. Maybe that person was wearing the khimar or was wearing the turban or something, looking like a learned person, looking like a sheikh. He approached him and said, "Please, sheikh, I don't have any hair on my head. What do I do?" He said, "Ah, but you have hair on your mustache now. Just cut something from your mustache." So it was said that when this person, this question was asked and this incident was narrated to Sheikh Abdulaziz ibn Baz, he started to weep. He started to weep. That person has misguided the other person. The person was ignorant. The person who was being asked was also ignorant. And that is part of the science of the last hour. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that knowledge will be taken away by the death of the ulama. That is what pains us, brothers and sisters, when scholars die. When scholars die and we feel the ask have passed away. So we feel exposed. Isn't it a sad thing to feel exposed? We feel exposed. Why? Those people who block that path, who will tell us and guide us onto rightness regarding our religious affairs, they pass away. So the matter is with us. So it's from the science of the last hour that the scholars will pass away. They will go away. And that is a means by which knowledge will be taken away from people. That occurs in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, in Bukhari, in the other books of hadith. So the Prophet said the scholars will go away. And then there will be no scholars again. فَاتَّخَذَ النَّاسُ رُؤُوسَ جُهَالٍ. The people will now begin to ask ignorant people. It is the ignorant people they will be making the mufti of cities. You hear mufti of Ilorin, if you go and check. You have mufti of Ibadan, if you go and check. Mufti of all these people fulfill the conditions for being a mufti? I had had an intention that we will discuss this matter. Perhaps we'll discuss it tomorrow. What are those things that we must see in a person before he is appointed a mufti? What are those things that you must find in a person before you begin to ask him about your religion? I think that it deserves, just like we were asking, what are those things we find in a person before we seek an advice from him? A person may be suitable to seek an advice. You may be suitable to seek an advice, but you may not be suitable to seek a religious verdict from him. I want to marry. What are the steps to take? Teach me my religion regarding. Or a person marries and so-and-so thing happens. What is the ruling of the Sharia on this? It is not everybody you can ask that one. The person may be suitable to be consulted for an advice, but he may not be suitable to ask religious verdicts from. That's why when the discussions about consultancy, about counseling regarding family matters, how does someone who is a counselor regarding family matters, he does not know the rulings of the Sharia regarding nikah. He does not know the rulings of the Sharia regarding talaq. He does not know the rulings of the Sharia regarding al-khul'u. And he does not understand the technicalities. When something is employed, when something is not employed, when something is invoked, when something is not invoked. And then he sets up a company as a family counselor on family affairs. Counselor of family affairs, you are doing that regarding Muslims. And you have not learned the details of the laws of the Sharia regarding marriage and divorce. Do you think you are in a place to do so? So what would, the evening light, I think it deserves an attention. What are those things that we must find in a person before we begin to ask him about the rulings of the Sharia? The evening light will do that tomorrow, inshallah. But here today in this hadith, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man taqawwala alayya ma lam akul. Whoever makes a statement, anyone whose Muslim brother consults, seeks an advice from him, and then he guides and directs his brother upon a path without knowledge. فَقَدْ خَانَهُ He has certainly betrayed his brother. This is the point of reference in this hadith. And then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ أُفْتِيَ فُتِيَ بِغَيْرِ فَبْتٍ فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَى Whoever gives a religious verdict without clear-cut knowledge, not upon any sound ground, فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْتَى The sin that emerges from that fatwa that he gave, it will be upon him. Like the people who give the people fatwa to go upon revolutions, to go upon wars, to go upon issues like insurgency, as we have seen it in our country. When that insurgency started, someone gave that fatwa. فَإِثْمُهُ عَلَيْهِ So all the evils that have transpired from that insurgency to today, the sin will be upon those persons who have given the fatwa. May Allah protect each and every one of us. I'd like to, before I stop, because some of our brothers have been paying attention to the issues. In his sunnah. And then he said that from وَمَنِ اسْتَشَارَهُ أَخُوهُ الْمُسْلِمُ to the end of the hadith, he said that it is weak. But Allahu A'lam, what appears correct is that it is a sound report. The entire hadith is sound. The entire hadith is sound. From among those who have declared it sound was a Shaykh Ahmed Muhammad Shakir. Because this hadith with the same isnad occurs in the musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. And Al-Imam Ash-Shaykh Ahmad Muhammad Shakir, in the 8th volume of his verification of the musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad, page 259, he mentioned that this hadith is sound. Likewise, others, the book Al-Faqihu Wal-Mutafaqihu by Al-Imam Abu Bakr Al-Khatib Al-Baghdadi, the one who had done the checking and the verification of that hadith, has also mentioned that that hadith is sound. And many others. There is also Zawa'idul Adab al-Mufrad al-Sahihain by Sheikh Muhammad ibn Mahmud al-Askandari. This hadith occurs in it, and he also grades the hadith to be sound, the entire hadith. That's the reason for that. If there is a question around that, we'll explain it. What appears most authentic, and Allah knows best, is that the entirety of this hadith is found in Allah. I think it will be sufficient for us to stop here today. Abu Abdurrahman. Abu Abdurrahman. Ameen, Abu Yusuf.
Ameen. Someone says, can we use the hadith of Abu Hurairah on someone who is interpreting the hadith?
Yes, the one who deliberately misinterprets the hadith. The hadith is sound. Hadith occurs in Bukhari, the hadith occurs in Muslim, or in other books of hadith. And it is graded as sahih. He now deliberately misinterprets that hadith. And he knows that he is misinterpreting the hadith. That person will fall under this category. Because what that means is that he's ascribing that false statement, that false interpretation to the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. He is interpolating that false to the true statement. He wants the people to accept it as from the Prophet Muhammad. They have the same ruling. They have to protect us from that. It is a criminal act. Naam.
And is that from the
anyway, yeah.
You have not told us in the Umrah. That's all.
Naam, about what the fatwa was. That was what Sheikh Abdurrazak mentioned. That was what I heard Sheikh Abdurrazak mentioning about it. That was what Sheikh Abdurrazak mentioned about that matter. And I was just mentioning it to make us understand how scholars see people about when people just give a fatwa without any sound knowledge. I think it will suffice on that, Abu Yusuf. If you open up that issue, other issues will come. like asking no. what's the ruling about with the person, but we start needing to explain other things regarding ahkam of Hajj. But what we needed it for which I cited it, is that people can say what they want regarding the Sharia of Allah without knowledge. And that thing that I've said would be something that is very, very grievous and dangerous to the religion of those persons that have asked the question. May Allah protect us all. Naam.
Ameen. Jazakum Allah khairan, Shaykhun.
Ameen.
If one seeks fatwa from seeks fatwa from unqualified people, an oath unto thee. Can you hear me, sir?
No, I can hear you now.
Now, if one seeks fatwa from unqualified people, an oath unto thee, that the sin is on the one that advised, is this valid?
What's the question again about it?
If someone seeks fatwa from unqualified people and he holds on to that fatwa, does that mean the sin will be on the unqualified people?
The sin is the one who deliberately goes to a person who is not qualified and he seeks fatwa from him. He has placed himself and his deen in a wrong place. That itself is a wrong act. Someone who deliberately goes to a person who is not qualified. That's a wrong act. That itself is wrong. He has a sin because it means he has placed his deen in a place where he should not place it. That itself is a sin. Now, if that person now misleads him again, the sin of misguidance is also upon the one who has given a wrong fatwa. There are two different persons carry their bodies. The one who has asked an unqualified person has his own body. The one who knows that he is not qualified and then is asking, is giving a fatwa that is not upon any evidence, is also. The evening law will come back to these issues tomorrow. The issues of who are those that we should be asking, so what are some of the things that are so connected to these issues of asking people. The reason why we felt that we should share this more like that is that it is a common thing now, especially with the proliferation of social media. You see someone who perhaps only did not even attend a madrasa. He perhaps even finds it difficult to read in Arabic. He has not, apart from learning the language, Arabic as a language, he has not learned any of the sciences of the religion that empowers him to be able to understand the rulings of the Sharia. Find them giving rulings. It's very, very common. So the Iznillah will address this issue tomorrow, the Iznillah, Abba Yusuf. This in the night over this morning. Allah blessed me with one boy. And I named the boy Osman after the companion of Muhammad. That was the night. I returned to the house very, very late, early this morning. That boy's name is Osman. Abu Abdullah. And I remember that you mentioned that Osman bin Affan has two kunyas. He is Abu Abdullah and Abu Amr. Osman bin Affan was Abu Abdullah and Abu Amr. We remember that he married two daughters of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu salam, Ruqayya and Umm Kulsum. And one statement I usually remember about Osman bin Affan was the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, Allah astahi mimman tastahi minhul malaika. Should I not have a humble esteem for the person that the angels have humble esteem for? Angels have humble esteem, shyness regarding Uthman ibn Affan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has a lot of humble esteem for Uthman ibn Affan. So this boy is named Uthman. And his kunya also is Abu Umar and Abu Abdullah. Fortunately, he has two brothers ahead of him, who are Abu Bakr and Umar. So he is their Uthman. Bismillah. So I like to tell us about that. Allah bless this boy and the rest of our children. All the rest of us listening, all our children. Allah make them blessed children. Allah make them from the leaders amongst the piles of the Muslims. And make them successful in this world and in the hereafter. There are some of our brothers who are still waiting for Allah to give them children. May Allah answer their dua and grant them children out of this mercy and out of this abundant favor. Abba Yusuf.
Amen.
So we meet in class tomorrow, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you.